Harmony Baptist Church, providing a message of hope to the hopeless.
Psalm chapter number 16, and I want you to look at one verse as we get started this morning. Verse number 11, Psalm 16, verse 11. David, writing here, he says in verse 11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." David said there in verse number 11, "In thy presence is fullness of joy." David references joy right here when you're in the presence of the Lord. And he didn't say that it was just joy alone. He said you could have the fullness of joy. You know, there's a difference between having something and being full of something. I got teenage boys, and they're never full. I feed them all the time, but they just don't ever seem to be full. They always want just a little bit more to eat. And when I think of full, I'm thinking of just something that's filling you up and even bubbling over and spilling over. I'll be at the house and I'll get a glass and I'll go pour some Dr. Pepper in that glass. And if it's a pretty fresh bottle, I mean, it don't take long. That fizz starts rising up till it's spilling out and you got a little bit of a mess there. But you know what the Lord wants to give us? He wants to give us joy like that. Something that'll just fill us up, and I mean to overflow, and might even splash around a little bit on somebody else. Amen. I want to preach this morning on the fullness of joy. The fullness of joy. As I travel around the country, the Lord's allowed us to go a lot of places, just about every part of this country. And one of the things that I'm seeing amongst God's people is the joy of the Lord is just about withered away. I mean, it seems like we've got so many things going on and people are carrying burdens, and I certainly understand that, but it just seems like joy is just about gone amongst God's people. And our churches, we've just about lost our shout. It's just about gone. But I'm going to tell you, amen, no matter how bad life gets, no matter how rough life gets, God is still good and God is still in control. And through Jesus Christ, we can have joy through it all. Amen. You can face the darkest midnight. You can face the worst storm of your life, but still have joy if you're living for Jesus and looking to Him. Amen. Nehemiah said the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we've been called to do a work for God. Amen. We're all laborers in this thing together. And if we're going to get the job done that God has us here to do, we're going to have some joy about us. This lost world, they're not interested in what we have if it just has us, you know, with a poochie lip all the time. They can do that on their own. Amen. They need to see something in us that's real. Something that's lasting, something that'll get you even through the hard times. I think today we put so much stock, we put all our joy, our happy, if you will, in all these temporary things that the world has to offer, and we have very little joy left in Jesus. We're in a society today that's consumed with sports, and we invest all our energy, all our time, all our money in sports. And listen, there ain't nothing wrong with sports. There's nothing wrong with enjoying sports. But if you put all of your interest in that, then as soon as your favorite sport's over, your joy is going to be gone. We put a lot of stock in social media nowadays. Everybody's familiar with social media. Again, nothing wrong with social media, but I'll be honest with you, there's so much depression on social media. Brother Thacker, I don't hardly ever read the news for you. He's telling me about catching all them fish, and I'd like to have seen that. I'd have liked that, but it's all the other stuff I got to go through to get to that. I don't hardly fool with it because there's so much drama, and I get off Facebook, and I'm like, man, I'm discouraged. My joy's gone. Hey, nothing wrong with Facebook. There can be some good things about it. But hey, if you're not careful, you'll put all of your interest in that, and it'll suck the joy out of you. What about just sin? Sin, that'll take you joy. You realize it is not possible to be full of the joy of the Lord and full of unconfessed, besetting sin at the same time. I know we're sinners. I know we sin daily. I understand that. But I'm talking about just going along in your sin without ever confessing it, without ever repenting. Amen. And you just go, yeah, ain't going to be much joy. But then just the storms of life, that can suck the joy out of you. Brother Thacker was sharing with me in his office a while ago about different things he's watching his children face. And Brother Thacker, that can sure take you joy if you're not careful. But I'm glad even when your kids are facing those kind of things, and as gut-wrenching, as much as it breaks your heart, we can still look to Jesus and have joy. The devil, that once we're saved, the devil, he can't have our soul, but he'd like to steal our joy. He wants to steal your joy this morning. No doubt this morning he may have already stole some of your joy. But David said we can have the fullness of joy. And I want you to notice three things, and I'm not going to be long because my stomach's already growling, and Brother Thacker already said he's taking me to eat, and I think now I'm going to eat more than he eats. Amen? So, amen. But just three things that I think David lays out here in this passage that tells us how we can have not just joy, but that fullness of joy, that lasting joy. First of all, you're going to have to get on the path of joy. You'll notice in verse 11, he said, "Thou wilt show me the path of life." He said, "Thou wilt show me." In other words, he's looking to the Lord to put him on the right path. If we're going to have joy, we're going to have to be on the path that God wants us to get on. This world has many paths to offer you, but they'll all lead to destruction. They'll all lead to discouragement. They'll all lead you to depression if you get on the path of the world. But if we'll follow the path that God has laid out for our lives, we can have joy and the fullness of joy. Amen. Several things I notice about this path. David is on the right path in these verses, and I see that his confidence, first of all, is in the sovereign. He said in verse number 1, "Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust." He's putting all his trust in the Lord right there. His confidence is in the sovereign. Don't let that word sovereign scare you. I realized many years ago that a man by the name of John Calvin took that word sovereign and put a very unscriptural twist on it. And now we have what we call Calvinism, or the more chic word to use is Reformed theology. And we are not that, amen. And that's not what sovereignty is talking about. Sovereignty just simply means that he is all-powerful, and he is God and can do things how he wants to do it. He can use whoever he wants to use to accomplish that task. It also gives us the idea that God in his sovereignty has seen everything from start to finish. Now, it doesn't take choice out of it. You choose. I mean, you're going to get saved or you're going to stay lost. When you leave this world, do you want to go to heaven or do you want to go to hell? It's a choice that we all make. The idea is that he just knows the end from the beginning. And since he knows the end from the beginning, and he's seen everything that I'm going to face in this life, and he's seen everything that you're going to face in this life, I can trust him and I can have confidence in him. If you put your confidence in your money, then when your money's gone, your joy is going to be gone. If you put your confidence in a Republican Party or a Democratic Party, then when things change and another one gets in the White House, your joy is going to be gone. Amen. If you put your confidence in man, man will let you down. But hey, I'm saying if you'll put all your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that has not failed, the one that will not fail, you'll have joy that'll get you through the worst things that you'll face in this life. Amen. The Bible said in Psalm 118, verse 8, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Now, it's not specifically spelled out in this passage, but it's believed that in this time of writing, David is fleeing from Saul and his armies. He's running for his life. He's hiding out in caves. And yet he still said, "In thee do I put my trust." Happiness is circumstantial. That's going to the sports, and you know, you watch your favorite team and they do good and they win and you're happy. There's nothing wrong with that. Amen. But joy is something that will get you through the worst thing you'll ever face. You can have joy when the doctor calls and he says, "I hate to tell you this, but it's cancer." And maybe you don't feel real happy, but you can still have joy knowing that God's in control and that you can trust him no matter what you and your family's faced with. Amen. Where's your confidence at this morning? Wherever it is, it'll depend on how much joy you have. And not only do we see his confidence in the sovereign, but he showed compassion toward the saints. He said in verse number 2, "O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, thou art my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee." In other words, David is saying, my goodness can't even compare to the goodness of God. We can't even touch that. His goodness is so great that we can't even start to touch that, not with our goodness. But he said in verse number 3, "But to the saints that are in the earth. My goodness can't compare to the goodness of God, and I can't do nothing to help His goodness, but I can show some compassion and be a blessing to the saints that are here on this earth. He said, I'm going to have some compassion toward the saints. You know, Independent Baptist, we're known for a lot of things. Good things. Amen. Our stand on this book. Just old-time religion. We're known for a lot of good things, but we're not always known for compassion. And we should be. We need some compassion. Do you know you can have both conviction and compassion? You don't have to compromise one for the other. We ought to have some convictions in our life. In our homes, there just ought to be some things that we say, you know what, we're not going to do this and we're not going to go there. We're going to live for God. We're going to do our very best to please God. We ought to have some conviction, but we can still have some compassion. Y'all ain't amening me much there. You know, there's some things in our home that I've just decided we ain't going to do. We're not going to do these things. But if you do those things, I mean, I can still have compassion and we still be friends. And you ought to show me the same kindness, amen? Amen. Maybe you don't do some things, and maybe our family does, but you know what? We can have a little bit of compassion on one another. There's going to be a time, there's going to come a time in all our lives we're going to need somebody to have some compassion on us, and it'll help if we've shown some compassion ourselves. Amen. But here's the thing. The Bible said in Jude 22, and if some have compassion, making a difference. If you want to make a difference, have some compassion, but we're going to have to get over ourselves. To have compassion on somebody else, we're going to have to get over ourselves. Be able to see a need in somebody else's life. Compassion toward the saints, but then he talks about consequences of sin. In verse number 4, he said, their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take up their names into my lips. He says, there's going to be sorrows if you chase after another God. In other words, there are consequences of sin. And when God's not first place in our life, and we allow other things to come in, there's consequences for those things. It's kind of like when I was in school. Now look, y'all, I've always been short. I've always been a nerd. It's just how it is. Amen. But I remember when I was in school, you know, I'd be walking through the hallway and people would be coming up and kicking me in the rear end. And I'd go feeling around, there'd be a sign on my back, and it said, kick me. Somebody had put a kick me sign on my back. And that was in the Christian school. Ain't no telling how bad it'd have been if I was in the public school. Amen. I don't know, it might have been nicer. I don't know. Anyway, but you know what? When we just continue and continue and continue in sin, with no repentance, no sorrow for, we're just inviting sorrow into our life. You might as well have a kick me sign on your back. It can't be joy, amen. And there's always consequences for sin and not putting God first place. But when He's in His rightful place, when He's sitting on the throne of our heart and we're looking to Him and praising Him, amen, we can have joy, amen. But you got to get on the right path. You can't just pick the path you want. You got to get on the path God wants for your life, and His Word sets forth that path. But secondly of all, this morning, I want you to notice the person of joy. He said in verse number 11, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. If we're going to have joy, we're going to have to be looking to the one that gives joy. Amen? The author of joy, the one that gives us that joy. And joy only comes in through Jesus. I mean, hey, listen here. People can give you happiness and they can give you a little bit of joy, but if you're going to have that fullness of joy, it comes through Jesus Christ and nobody else. Amen? We got to make Him the main person in our life. I love my wife this morning. Man, God's given me a wonderful wife. And I mean, the minute I met her and she said her name was Stormy, my last name's Waters, I was like, man, you know God's in that. Stormy Waters, amen. But God's blessed us with 5 children, and I love them, and I even like them sometimes. And amen. Now I love my children, and we're blessed, and then friends. You know, just hadn't seen Brother Thacker in a couple years, and sitting in his office and just catching up. And I'm thankful for friends, and man, we can have a little bit of joy, but there ain't nothing like the joy that comes from the Lord. Amen. You'll go through some things in your life, and so will I, that we ain't going to have the words to say. We can try our very best, but The Lord knows what to say, and He knows how to help and heal us and give us joy to help us. I see that David's content with the presence of God. He said in verse number 5, "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage." David references his heritage right here. And the fact is, because he's being chased by Saul, he's had to leave town and he's hiding out in these caves. He's been cut off from his earthly inheritance, his family inheritance. He can't get to it. But he says, "Yea, I have a goodly heritage." In other words, he says, "I've got a better heritage than all that. I've got a better heritage than what's there in the kingdom. I've got the Lord. He is the portion of my cup. And as long as I've got Him, as long as I've got Him, it don't matter who's chasing me, trying to kill me. It don't matter who's my friend or who's not my friend. It don't matter how many Facebook friends I have or how many I don't have. I've got the Lord. I've got all I need. And as long as I'm walking with Him, it's okay." Amen. He's content with the presence of God. Are you content with that this morning? Again, I'm thankful for earthly friends and fellowship. It's wonderful. But if all my friends forsake me today, I got a friend that said He would never leave me. He'd never forsake me. Hallelujah. George Beverly Shea used to sing that song, "I'd rather have Jesus than anything that this world can afford today." Can you say that this morning? I mean, can you really say from the bottom of your heart, "I'd rather have Jesus than money. I'd rather have Jesus than fame. I'd rather have Jesus than friends, hundreds of friends. I'd rather have Jesus." If you can say that this morning, you'll know what it is to have fullness of joy. He's content with the presence of God, but then in verse 7, he's getting his counsel from the Word of God. He said, "I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons." If you're going to have joy, listen, if you're going to have joy, you've got to get your counsel from the Lord. It does matter who you're listening to and what they're telling you. And if you're getting bad advice from people, and if you actually go through with what they're telling you, your joy is going to be gone real quick. If you're getting your counsel this morning from Hollywood, you're going to get in trouble. Amen. And we're in a day, everybody, I mean, even God's people, we're so consumed with what's on the TV and what's being pumped through there that we allow them to tell us how to dress and how to talk and how to act. We're in a mess. Amen. Don't get your counsel from Hollywood. Hollywood's never been right. I mean, we come a long way since Andy and Opie and Barney, hadn't we? Amen. I don't want to get my counsel from Oprah and Dr. Phil. Even if they may say something that's true and right from time to time, they say enough stuff that don't come from this book that it'll get you in a mess. Your counsel better come from the Word of God if you're going to have joy. If you get bad counsel, bad things are going to happen and your joy is going to be gone. Amen. The Bible said, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God has left us with a wonderful book that we can trust it. We can obey it. We need to obey it. Amen. Not only that, He's consistent in His walk with God. He said, verse number 8, "I've set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved." I mean, David has made up his mind. "I'm not going to be up and down and in and out. I'm just going to walk with God. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to do my best to please God." Amen. You know what? A lot of people don't have joy because they just never get consistent in their walk with God. I mean, they're in church one week and then you can't find them the next week. They're on fire for God one week and then the next week they're cold as ice. Amen. Get consistent. I mean, just have a daily walk with God. Make it consistent. Try to get in this book. Get in His Word every day. Have a prayer life. Have some prayer time. And you say, "I ain't got an hour to pray." Hey, a minute's better than nothing at all. Amen. I mean, I would hope that we could pray more than a minute a day, but even a minute's better than nothing. That ought to encourage us all this morning. Amen. But I'm saying have a walk with God. Not in and out and up and down. And I mean, you know, Brother Frank shouldn't have to be calling you all the time. "Are you coming? Are you going to be here? Where you been? I'm worried about you." Amen. Just get consistent in your walk with God. I know this world's full of distractions, but don't let them get you out. The difficulties are going to come, but don't let them set you aside and get you out of the race. Amen. the person of joy, it's in Jesus and Jesus only. But then last of all, this morning, I want us to look at the product of joy. What joy produces. Verse number 11, at the end of the verse, David said, "At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore." And I don't know about y'all, but that sounds pretty good to me. I know it doesn't spell out and go into detail about what those pleasures are, but pleasures forevermore sounds like a pretty good deal to me. David has peace of mind. If you'll notice in verse number 9, he said, "Therefore," based on everything else we just looked at, he said, "Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope." He said, "My heart is glad." Here's a man, keep in mind, he's running from his enemies. He's running for his life. He said, "My heart is glad and my glory rejoiceth." You say, what is that joy in the Lord? That joy can give you peace of mind even in the midst of some of the hardest battles that you'll face in life. You still have joy. But it only comes through the Lord. David didn't have to take any kind of medication to go to sleep. Amen. He didn't need the little neon glow-in-the-dark butterfly to help him get to sleep. Y'all remember all that? Well, they still do them. Got all these commercials, you know. It's going to help you with one thing. And then it lists about 100 things that's probably going to kill you when it's all said and done. It's going to help you with that one thing, but then you're going to have high blood pressure, thoughts of suicide, depression, vomiting, dizziness, blackouts, heart attack, in rare cases, death. And I'm not against doctors and medication, but I'm just saying, I think if we'll get plugged into the Lord and get the joy that He has, He can give us some peace of mind and some real rest. Rest in Jesus Christ. Not only peace of mind, he's got a promise of hope. He said there in verse number 9, "My flesh shall also rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Now, I got to looking at that. David's talking about a hope of a resurrection right there. Verse number 10, Brother Thacker, used to bother me when I was a young student of the Bible. I'd read that verse, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell." And I thought, why in the world is David going to hell? And then the Holy One, "Thou wilt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." I'm thinking, why is he going to hell in the first place? And you know, you learn a little bit about the Bible and how things work in the Old Testament before Calvary. The way this thing was set up, there was a place in the center of this earth, and you had hell on one side, and you had paradise on the other side, Abraham's bosom. Those Old Testament saints, before Jesus came to Calvary, the Old Testament saints, they would die. They didn't go straight to heaven. They went to Abraham's bosom. Those that died without trusted in the Lord, they would go over here to hell, where they still go if you die without the Lord. And they were divided by a gulf of water. And I don't fully understand how it all works. I try to wrap my mind around it, but the way I understand it, the way I feel like the Bible lays it out, when Jesus died, they placed his body in that tomb, but his spirit was up to some things. Amen. I believe the Spirit of God descended down below. He went over to the hell side and got the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Amen. Then he crossed that gulf and went over to paradise and led captivity captive, took them up to heaven. Because now, because that perfect blood had been shed, now they were able to go into heaven, place the blood on the mercy seat where I believe it still is. Amen. You say, what are you talking about, Brother Dan? I'm saying in the Old Testament, David knew that his body was going to go into the earth. And they sort of all lumped it together there. And I know that's a lot of information to take in 30 seconds. I understand. Brother Frank's going to clear all that up tonight. Amen. Come back tonight. What he's saying is, I'm going to die,
My body is going to go into the heart of this earth, but thank God I have hope of a resurrection. And hear me tonight, amen. I understand that now in the church age when we die, thank God we go straight to heaven, amen. But there's still a resurrection day coming. There's going to be a day, amen. We're going to all rise up to meet the Lord together. I've got hope this morning. My hope ain't in the president. My hope, amen, ain't in the currency, in the bank, amen. My hope ain't in anything but the fact that there's going to be a resurrection one day, and I'll see my daddy again, and I'll see my preacher friends again, but bless God, most of all, I'm going to see my heavenly Father. What a good, glad day that's going to be. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I've got hope this morning. I've got hope and I've got joy. Peace of mind, a promise of hope. But he said there's pleasures for eternity. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Now notice the contrast here. He told us in the book that there's pleasure in sin for a season. Now I don't know how it was in North Carolina this spring, but in West Tennessee, we didn't even get much of a spring. It was cold and rainy most of the spring season. And now here we are, we're almost into summer. You know, it's been a short season. That's what sin has to offer you. That's what the devil has to offer you. He'll offer you just a little bit of pleasure. A little bit of pleasure, but the pain that comes from sin, it lasts a whole lot longer than the pleasure does. That's pleasure in sin for a season, but God says, I've got pleasures forever. More. I mean, he's got stuff to offer his children that's lasting. And it'll last throughout eternity. So you pick. You want your little short-lived season? Or would you rather have something that'll last you a long time? What God gives his children, it's not only satisfying, but it's lasting. It'll carry you through everything you'll face in this life. Probably any preacher this morning has spent a lot of time in a hospital visiting people, or maybe even being there yourself. But one thing I notice in almost every hospital room I go into, there's a pain chart. And if I remember correctly, I think one, the guy's kind of smiling real big. No pain. Everything's good today. Woo! But you get down there to verse number 10. You get down there to pain level number 10. Ain't no verses in the hospital. Nurses, but not verses. But you get to number 10 there, and that guy's, he's frowning as much as he can frown. I'm hurting. Give me something. I need something. Give me the glow-in-the-dark butterfly. Give me something. I'm hurting. I wonder this morning if we had a joy chart up here. And number one, we just smile and loving Jesus, full of joy. Or number 10, I'm mad at everybody. I hate life. Where would you be this morning? Where's your joy at? You like that guy down here, just, man, God's good, I have been blessed. Woo! Or you just, it's easy to lose our joy in this life. There's plenty of things that can suck the joy right out of it. But we're ever going to make a difference. Not only do we need joy just for ourselves, it's not even as much about self as it is if we're ever going to be a blessing and a help to somebody else. We're going to be a light and a witness to some lost person. There's going to have to be some joy. Maybe this morning your joy is just running a little bit low. You ever run out of gas in your car? I mean, you're running along real good and all of a sudden, you got to get that thing to the gas station. You got to fill it up. Maybe this morning, if your joy level's a little low, maybe you just want to slide into the station and say, Lord, fill her up. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. It is available. Won't you ask him for it this morning?